Amen. Thank you for those beautiful songs this morning, for the Holy Ghost anointed on those songs. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 1. Began a message last Sunday. We entitled The Word and the Spirit. Of course, the Word and the Spirit, we're going to learn more about this morning in the virgin birth, because John tells us that Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, we begin reading with verse 26. And then in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We see that this is a miraculous birth. The Creator God, the one that spoke the world into existence and all the universe into existence, the three are one, the one are three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we see that that particular day, God became man, because implanted in the womb of Mary was the seed, the Word, by the Spirit of God. We want to look at the parallels this morning, the symbolic parallels between that miraculous birth and the new birth that Jesus came to give you and I. Because without that miraculous virgin birth, God the Father, God the Son in the womb of Mary. And now we see that Jesus is telling Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, we'll pick up pretty much where we left off last week, about the Word and the Spirit. Because of Jesus' virgin birth, the death on the cross, the shed blood, and the only remission of sin is the blood. Couldn't be yours or mine or anyone else. It had to be God's blood, holy blood, for the forgiveness of sin. We sang about it this morning. To whomsoever will they come. So in the third chapter of John, we see that at night, a man came to Jesus. Nicodemus by name. He was a ruler of the Jews. Had a high seat. And he came because he had desired. He had seen the miracles Jesus done. And you know what the Bible tells us about the miracles? Jesus did those miracles to let everyone know that he was the Son of God. The greatest miracle of all would be the birth of someone into the family of God, called a new birth. And God allowed this to happen. Nicodemus, a lot of other things happened. And we see that Nicodemus is going to come to Jesus. We're going to read a few verses here in the third chapter of John, in verse 2. The same came to Jesus for that and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that doeth, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. This is our thought this morning. Born of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So we will look at three things this morning as fast as we can. First of all, let's look at the study of the new birth. And in that study of new birth, that we already have seen the fact that God came down and was implanted, the word, Christ Jesus, in the womb of Mary. And the same token about the new birth, it wasn't of flesh because no flesh could do anything about it. We saw last week that within our flesh, we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. He said, well, I had a good father and mother, so did I, and my grandparents were good and saved, as far as I know. That's wonderful. But I was born in sin, and so were you. And so was everyone else from Adam's race. And so God realized all that, and the only way you and I could have the second birth. And Nicodemus is asking the question, I'm old, how can I be born again? And Jesus explained to him, we want to look at that this morning, the study of a new birth. You and I are here, we were born one time of the flesh, fleshly. And we saw last week in the Word of God that the flesh has the inability to do anything except die. And in sin, we were born, and this body, God told Adam, in the day thou eateth thereof, thou shalt surely die. He did. Man was three parts, a soul, inhabited in the body, with the spirit. And so the instant he sinned, he died. But thank God, God came and slew the animals and offered the skin covering for a covering of his sins, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ and the covering he gives us for our sin. And he told Nicodemus, it's by the new birth. And so we saw the inability of man to do anything, but then we saw the ability of God that can do anything. Then we looked last Sunday, after we're saved and we're redeemed by the grace of God, that he gives us this wonderful ability to serve him. But now let's look at the study of a new birth. He said it's by water and by the Spirit. Anytime in the Word of God you see the water, it's a type of the Word. Old Testament, New Testament alike. So let's read some passages from God's Word, how he explained now about the Word. We're talking about the new birth, and the only way we're going to see Jesus in heaven is the new birth. And it won't be fleshly, it'll be of the Spirit. First of all, we see that the Word of God, it just has to make application to the soul. And the new birth is exactly that. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, shows us we're lost in sin, and gives us the faith to believe what we've already read in the Word, knowing that the Word is Christ Jesus. It's revealed to us by the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit quickens us, illuminates our mind, and now the Spirit comes into our soul and applies the blood of Jesus. And at the same time, every one of us were born the same way. We had parents, male and female, and then we were in the womb of a mother. Jesus was in the womb of an earthly mother, nonetheless God the Father. And the way we're going to get born again is by the Spirit revealing the Word to us and giving us the faith to believe in our soul. And then once we believe, he redeems us. This is what the Scripture says. The Word of God applied to the soul by the Spirit of God. In Hebrews 4:12. Well, the Word of God is quick. Talking about the Word of God now. The Word of God that is implanted in the soul after a conviction to show us we're lost by the Spirit of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See what happens? The Holy Ghost comes upon us. We believe the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he says, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. So the soul is a part of man that will never die. Right now, we're here this morning. We're alive in this world in the flesh, and we are a soul. And that soul will spend eternity somewhere. It will never die. And the only way it's going to a place called heaven is to let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come upon that soul and divide asunder and get rid of the sin question in their life. That can only be done by the application of the blood of Christ. Once we accept that, we are eternally saved. We'll talk about that in a little bit. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Read that again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How are we born again? By the word implanted in the soul, separating asunder the soul and the spirit, not of corruptible seed. We were here, every one of us, because a seed, a father and a mother, and then the mother bore the child and was in the womb. And now God implants that Holy Spirit in our soul, and he comes to live and make his abode, and we're born again, and that seed is not corruptible. Now, we got here by a corruptible seed. You say, wait a minute, my father and mother were great. So was mine. But that won't get you to heaven. Only the new birth, the Spirit of God planting the seed of the Word of God in your soul, and then it will spring up into eternal life. Oh, the Word of God is so clear you couldn't miss it. Which liveth and abideth forever. Once my father and mother or anyone else, that seed was in the womb, that was a living soul, aborted, still a living soul. And those aborted babies are in a place called heaven because they have not sinned. And that's a whole different message. But the Word of God is so powerful and so real. And it lives forever. Nothing can destroy it. Now, it will be a place called hell if you aren't saved. But those little babies, they're in a safe place, keeping them God in a place called heaven, because they haven't reached the age of accountability. And look at the scripture, which liveth and abideth forever. Once the Holy Spirit comes in their life and we allow him to quicken us and we receive the offering that he gave, life eternally by his death, then we have to die to self. We have to say, Lord, the life I live is in the flesh. Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can I do that? What do I do? Just be a willing vessel, acceptable, and let the Holy Spirit and allow him to come into your soul and quicken you and apply the blood, and that's all you have to do. And Nicodemus told you, how can I enter in the womb? No, 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 this is a soul thing. This is an eternal thing. And then Peter told us about the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10:17. How do you get this faith? I've talked to a lot of people during the years, and they've tried over and over, and went to the altar, and on, and then they were older in years, and they realized they're still lost, going to the devil's hell, and they've done everything they know to do. And finally, some of them have said to me, I just don't have enough faith. And quickly it comes out of my mouth, well, thank God you finally realize that. Wait a minute, I thought, you have to have faith, you do, but your faith will waver. Paul says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of a Son of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we realize what he's done and who we are, then he imparts that seed in our soul, and it's his seed of his faith. And his faith will not fail. Our faith wavers. Everything is going good, great service. Spirit of God moving, we can rejoice, we can praise him, wonderful. But then when you get back out in the world, if you're lost and a trial comes, or even if you're saved and a trial comes, if you're not careful, your faith will wander and waver, but not his faith. We'll talk about that in a minute. But now, one other scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we're talking about the Word of God, then we will talk about the Spirit of God a little bit later. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the Word of God, the only way you're going to get to heaven is the Word of God and the Spirit, which ye heard of us yet received it not of a word of man. It can't be men's words, can't be anything anyone said. It's the word of God. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And we see now that the new birth is just a starting place. None of us would be here if we hadn't had a natural birth. And then you come in, you start walking, you start talking, you start learning. And then when you reach the age of accountability, hopefully, though, all your life, your parents or someone has taken you to the house of God so you can hear, how will I have enough faith to believe? Hearing cometh by faith, and faith of the word of God. The only way you're going to have the faith to believe is from the word of God. Christ Jesus is the word. So we could spend a lot more time on that, but we have seen several verses that describe and show us a symbolic way that we're born again by the word. And then he said, the Spirit. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Now, when Jesus was reduced himself to the size that he was as much God as he ever was, how could God be God in the womb of Mary? Because he's God. He can do anything. He was nonetheless the full God, the Godhead, full man and full God. But let's see in Genesis chapter 1 the working of the Spirit. It's always been the Word of God and the Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, of course, is Elohim, the one that can speak and it's done. You'll never figure it out. We don't have the minds to do it. But by faith that God has given us, his faith, the Word has given us faith, then we believe. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You see, the world was in darkness. And you and I were born in darkness. But thank God for the Spirit of God that hovered over us, illuminated our lost soul. We'd heard. There's never been a time in my life from the time I was even in my mother's womb before that was carried to church. Mother walked to church and dad did too. But nonetheless, they got me there. They said I wasn't born yet. I believe them. They got me there. And even in the womb, I was able to hear. I don't understand all that. But then I was born and went to church and heard in my ear, physical, fleshly ear. But then one day at 12 years old, Holy Spirit hovered over me. And I heard a voice, not audibly. My soul heard a voice, which was real clear. You must be born again. I'd heard that all my life. The meaning was not what it could have been or should have been or would be until he quickened my spirit by his Spirit and showed me and illuminated me and showed me I was lost. He did not leave me stranded, not one second, but showed me in my heart how to believe. I've never told anybody, never could, no one else could ever tell anyone. Jesus said, believe in your heart, and then you will be saved. I can't do that. I can't tell you how to do that. Don't have to. The Holy Spirit can do his job. He hovered over the world, and darkness fled, and the light shined. He is the light, the light of the world. In him is no darkness. So his Spirit was, and the power of God, we read about the power of God, was able to make the darkness flee and the light shine. Then in my dark soul of sin, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, moved within my soul. We've seen the state of new birth. I want to look, second of all, at the significance of a new birth. What happens after you're born again? Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forever and ever. You know, the simple fact is, nothing could ever take away the fact that I was born physically, right? And even more so, the Holy Ghost writes her name in the Lamb's Book of Life after he lets the Word of God indwell in our soul. And then we are a child of the King, and the Scriptures already told us, which liveth and abideth forever. You couldn't miss that, even if you wanted to. And then he told us, something else happens. You start growing physically we start growing, and we learn, and we have faith that God allows us to see faith in other people. Well, as you read the Word of God and hear the Word of God, the significance is that we realize, hey, we were born for a purpose, to serve the Lord. And every day of our life, how you do that? Because the instant of the new birth, old things pass away, and all things become new. Because the Word of God quickens us, lives in our soul, and now He shows us that we are here for a purpose, to help someone else, to grow in grace and knowledge, to get closer to Him every day of their life, and to realize that there's only one thing that's important, and that's serving Him and living for Him and following Him and teaching others. You say, well, I don't have a good way of talking to people. Let your light so shine, Jesus said. Just let the love of God radiate. Remember when God created the great light, the sun, and the lesser light, the moon? And we realize that moon doesn't have one bit of glow to it unless the sun shines upon it. And then the ones that have visited the moon to bring back the moon dust. And the moon dust is highly reflective. And God created it. Don't you realize that God made your flesh after salvation to be reflective of the love of God in you, the hope of glory? And when He, the Son of Righteousness, shines on your life, there's a glow, there's a gleam, and others see it. Why? Because when tragedy comes, you don't act like other people do. There's hope. And when bad things happen to you, you realize that God purposed it, orchestrated it. Oh, I love the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. But not only that, the Holy Ghost comes upon our life and teaches us more and more about Him. And the more we see Him, the more we love Him, and the more we're able to serve Him, and the quicker we realize that we were here for a purpose. So the significance of a new birth is that we live a life pleasing before God, and we're in the flesh, we make mistakes. There's a remedy. James says, if any man sin, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith. Faith. His faith, without wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man ask anything of God. So a life of stability, a life established upon the fact that He is Lord. We're talking about what happens after the new birth. And then lastly, the security of a new birth, we've already covered a little bit. We're born one time for all times. Thank God Nicodemus was a smart boy. How do I re-enter in my mother's womb and be born again? Well, you can't do that. Don't need to. You were born once, can't undo it or redo it. How much more is a new birth? The Holy Spirit does His work a lot better than man can do, of course. And we're born one time for all time. What happens if I sin? He will convict you of your sin. And if you ask, He will forgive you of your sin. He's your advocate. And if you don't get forgiveness for your sins on a daily basis, when He convicts you of your sins, then you lose the fellowship with God. Oftentimes, and I would lose fellowship with my father and mother. I would make a mistake and do something that I shouldn't do, and I would be punished for it. And then the fellowship was broken. I was still their son. But until I repented, got over my pouting, there was broken fellowship. And when God chastises us, don't pout about it. Thank Him that you're His child. And He shows us we must get forgiveness on a daily basis. And we don't have time to go through all the things we have to get forgiveness for, nor do I need to. The Holy Ghost is able to do that because He is still watching over you. Remember, the security is your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's, Peter says, kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. Quite frankly, you don't have it. You have the results of it. And Nehemiah says, We're responsible for the joy of our salvation, but God keeps your salvation, heaven's bank vault. Nothing can get through to take it away or destroy it. You say, well, I know those people that got saved and not been back in church. Well, the question is, were they really saved? That's up to God, not up to me and you. The state of new birth, the security of the new birth, and the significance of a new birth, all because of the virgin birth. Christ Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Mr. You and the trio have a song for us this morning, whatever God puts on your heart. God makes the new birth so simple. Within your own mind, you can't understand it. But when He, the Holy Ghost, illuminates you and convicts you, and you allow Him to come into your soul and change you, you're eternally changed. You get forgiveness of your sins. And if you don't, Paul told us that there is a possibility that He, the Holy Ghost, will turn you over to Satan. And you'll live a much shorter life because you're eternally saved, if you're saved. But the question is, are you saved? It's not a head belief. It's a heart belief. You can't produce it, only the Holy Ghost, by the Word and by the Spirit.